This is our State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. In the first half of our State Capitol Report, we'll talk with a political reporter about the reasons for the budget impasse in the state of Wisconsin. We'll also talk about the chances for a quick resolution. In the second half of the State Capitol Report, we'll talk with the co-author of the Badger Care for All legislation. The co-author of this bill will make the case that a public option for badger care is the way to go. We will also touch on some other top stories in state government and welcome your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest is J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. Good morning. Well, it would help if I would put the right button on. Hi, JR.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for being with us. So it's been more than a week now since lawmakers sailed by the July 1st deadline to have a new state budget in place. Can you recap how we got to this point?
Well, you really have to take a long view and go back 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Governor Walker introduced a budget and then kind of went off and started running for president. And at the time, he gave Republican lawmakers a transportation budget that some didn't feel like really solved the long-term issue we have with funding roads. So they patched something together 2 years ago to kind of get through those 2 years, hoping that, okay, maybe 2 years from now, they can have a different scenario. Well, 2 years later, Governor Walker produced a transportation budget that, again, said no gas tax increase, no registration fee increase. And in Republicans' minds, in the legislature, kind of doesn't really solve the long-term issue. Now, the caveat to that is there are plenty of Republicans in the legislature saying we don't need more money for transportation. We need to, in their words, reform Department of Transportation and find savings. But there's a healthy segment of those two caucuses saying, well, no, actually, there's a need for more revenue somehow. But there's no answer right now. And so we're basically replaying a fight 2 years ago, but much more in public and much deeper divide.
Yeah, give us a sense as to who's where the all sides are coming from. It seems that the Assembly and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss are on one side, and while the Senate seems to be on Governor Walker's page. Is that about right?
Yeah, Robin Voss has said several times in recent weeks that he will not agree to more borrowing for roads without a new revenue stream to pay for that. Senator Scott Fitzgerald, really over there, has said his caucus will not do new revenue because the governor won't do new revenue. He wants to instead borrow, I think the latest figure he offered is a new $750 million in bonding. So you have this standoff where Robin's saying, I need revenue to do borrowing, and Scott's saying, no revenue, let's do this borrowing. At one point, about a week and a half ago, Governor Walker seemed open to an idea of a new heavy truck fee that would be assessed per mile driven, and that seemed like a possible bridge that you could do this fee to bring in some new revenue to make Robin happy, to help pay for the bonding, and then they could figure out something else in a couple of years. But after letting that kind of sit out there for a day, Governor shot it down, and it's gone nowhere. So we're back where we were before, which is, so one guy wants more revenue to borrowing. One guy wants no revenue but more borrowing.
Yeah, last week, then, Governor Walker proposed that he would be open to less borrowing, cutting transportation-funded borrowing to $300 million, down from the $500 million he was originally looking for. So where does that stand?
Well, it hasn't really gotten the response that I think the governor was hoping for. I don't get the sense that it's going to break the impasse, and there's a couple of reasons why. One of them is a key piece of what Governor Walker is proposing is that we would get basically a windfall of federal transportation aid. The feds every year have, they call it redistribution aid. So some states don't spend their full allotment of federal highway aid. That money goes back to the federal government, puts it in a pot, and says, okay, apply for this states, and we'll give it back out. Well, we've averaged over the last 5 years about $33, $34 million a year. Governor Walker might be looking for $341 million, which is about an increase of 10 times. Now, his office has said we're not committing to a final number we're going to ask for just yet, but the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which is the nonpartisan budget arm of the legislature, said its indication from the Department of Transportation was that's how much money it plans to seek. So that money, if, and that's a big if, the state could get it, could then pay for, that could be a revenue stream to pay for your new borrowing for the next 2 years. It could be go right to projects. There are all things you could do with it. But that is, in some people's minds, unlikely to get that big of a jump and that kind of money in just 1 year.
Yeah. So is the federal funding aside, is that a plan that Robin Voss and the Assembly think is at least worth pursuing, less borrowing, but even if it means no increase in revenue?
When I talked to Robin Voss and when the letter came out, he said he appreciated the governor's effort, but he said it's not the level of borrowing that bothers him. It's the ability to pay for it, because you have to think about our state budget like we have two checking accounts. Like, imagine you have one at home to pay for your mortgage and one at home to pay for your other bills, your car, all right? Our mortgage checking account, our general fund, that's where we send our income taxes, sales taxes, excise taxes, corporate taxes, those things. That pays for schools, Medicaid, government operations, those kinds of things. The other checking account is the transportation fund. That's where your gas taxes, your registration fees, those kinds of things go. Robin wants to see more revenue flowing that transportation fund. He's saying without a new revenue stream, more of that checking account for transportation will be eaten up by debt because we keep borrowing money to pay for roads. Without new revenue, any debt you add means that going, I think we're about 21 or 22 cents on the dollar in that fund goes to pay for debt right now. We could creep up to 23, 24, 25 cents. That's his issue. So he said, thanks, Governor, for being willing to throw an idea out there. But it's not the number, it's the revenue. We need to have something to start addressing the amount of borrowing we're doing, which I think has come close to doubling over the last decade or so.
We had Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on our state capitol report last week, on last Monday. And at that point, he was a bit upset that this idea of imposing a higher fees for heavy trucks was being shot down. And he, in essence, said, hey, the assembly's done with proposing new ideas for revenue to help pay for transportation funding, said the ball was in the Senate's court. And here's a clip of that.
The only thing that I've said to the Senate is we are not going to continue to borrow and spend. So come back to us with a plan that either raises revenues to be able to help us pay for the roads that we all know need to be redone, or we're going to be at base, which means we don't borrow any more money, and projects not just are going to be delayed, but they're going to have to be canceled. And I think nobody in the state wants that. But if you're not willing to raise the revenues, it's not conservative to borrow and spend, which is unfortunately what it seems like our Senate colleagues are talking about.
So has the Senate come up with any plans post Robin Voss's suggestion there?
No. Scott Fitzgerald had a caucus meeting on Thursday. During the course of that meeting, they went over basically the entire budget to kind of see what joint finance the budget committee had done to Walker's proposal, where things were at, get some questions answered. We all kind of staked out the meeting and caught him in between a couple of breaks. At one point, he said his new number for borrowing was $750 million, which is $100 million less than what went before. That would be split between, remember, our two checking accounts. Part of it would be paid for by the transportation fund. Part of it paid for by the general fund. But he has not put forward a plan in terms of we're going to do A, B, and C the same way the assembly has. He's been saying the reality is Governor Walker has said no gas tax increase, no registration fee increase. As long as that marker is out there, there is no point in having a conversation about increasing revenue to the transportation fund. The governor is not there. And so Fitzgerald has pretty much staked his caucus to the governor's position. And that letter that we saw last week, Governor Walker tried to present his proposal as a win for all sides. By dropping borrowing $200 million on a $300 million, that would be a quote-unquote win for the assembly leadership. By getting this windfall of federal money, you could borrow then to get projects in southeast Wisconsin on track, like I-94 east-west, I-94 north-south, the last leg of the zoo interchange on the outskirts of Milwaukee. That would be a quote-unquote win for Senate leadership. And then finally, he said that could be done without an increase in the gas tax or the registration fee, which would be a quote-unquote win for taxpayers. So Walker is doubling down about the no new gas tax increase or registration fee increase.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll talk about is there a chance for a resolution, a quick resolution to this budget impasse, especially when it comes to transportation funding. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with political reporter J.R. Ross. J.R. is the editor of WisPolitics.com, and he's talking with us about the budget impasse and the debate over transportation funding in the state of Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions and your views. What do you think ought to happen? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, J.R., do you expect that the Senate and the Assembly will come to an agreement anytime soon when it comes to transportation funding?
Well, it's an interesting question because a lot of people in the Capitol I've talked to have looked at the situation and said, okay, you have this dynamic where Scott Fitzgerald and the Senate Republicans are aligned with Scott Walker. That means that Robin Voss and the Assembly Republicans are outnumbered in a way. So there's this, some people think, well, eventually Voss will have to cave. But what people forget sometimes in looking at that way is that as long as Robin Voss has his caucus sticking with him, he has leverage. They need him to do a budget. So right now it's a question of who's going to blink in this entire thing. Now, Democrats are sometimes a forgotten voice in this debate because they're such small minorities, and the Assembly especially. But they're looking at this as an opportunity to say Republicans can't govern anymore. Yeah, they've been in charge for more than 6 years in the Capitol, and they can't do something as basic as produce a budget. So you're going to hear Democrats a lot saying, we're now, whatever it is, a week late on the budget, 7-8 days late on the budget, 9 days. And they'll keep pumping this out that these guys can't govern, they're dysfunctional. This is just like Washington, D.C., where they can't get anything done.
Looking back to our Week in Review program last Friday, our conservative guest on the Week in Review, Kevin Benversky, was saying that Robin Voss was, in essence, sounding like the Democrats. We had our Democratic or our more liberal-leaning guest agreeing with Robin Voss, and the conservative guest saying Robin Voss was wrong. Is Robin Voss getting some political heat over his opposition to borrowing without raising revenue?
Oh, absolutely. Because for some conservative groups, they're having a hard time wrapping their heads around a Republican holding up the state budget calling for basically a tax or fee increase. That, to them, boggles the mind. But Robin's counter has been, it is not more conservative to borrow and put debt on our kids and our grandkids than it is to pay as you go. That to him are user fees. We're using the roads, you need to pay for them. But as long as his caucus sticks with them, and now he's got 64 members, I think, off the top of my head, so he can have a dozen members or so say, you know what, this is not for me, I think we should go ahead and do X. As long as he's got 50 members sticking with him, he can keep things as is and try and get the Senate and the governor to bend to what he wants.
Joe in Pewaukee is with us. Hi, Joe.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Hey, my only comment would be, I guess I have a hard time, agreeing with Robin Voss that the description of being a conservative is just not borrowing more. I know I've recently read a ranking on total taxes, ranking each state in the U.S. Wisconsin ranked number five out of 50 states in total taxes. That doesn't seem to point to a revenue problem. Seems to point to a spending problem. You know, and I guess something that popped to mind while I was on hold, I know I just heard a recent story about state employees getting 16 paid days for sick pay each year, which way outpaces, you know, the normal marketplace. And it would occur to me that maybe our politicians need to do a better job spending the money that they take in already.
And all right, so it's not a taxing or revenue problem. It's a spending problem, JR. Is that what we're hearing a lot?
Well, you do hear that from certain segments of the caucuses, Republican caucuses, about the Department of Transportation, that it's wasteful in their words, that there have been audits done that have found things are not doing as well as they could. One of the issues we have is that all of our massive big projects are about the same age. So we did the Marquette Interchange in Milwaukee about a decade ago, right? We're now doing the Zoo Interchange. Well, I-94 north-south, east-west, I-43, these big projects in Wisconsin are roughly the same age because the highway system came of age right around the same time. So they're all starting to show their age at the same time. We're in an unusual situation of these big projects being stacked back to back to back. So how do you pay for those without starving outstate projects? And that's one of the issues that Republicans have, is that we could probably, you know, there are ways to afford just those big projects. But what would you do for, like, local communities, for road aids to resurface county highway roads or county roads? What do you do then? So there is definitely a stress on the transportation budget. One thing I will say in my years up here covering the Capitol, I rarely hear anybody say, let's build fewer roads in Wisconsin. We love having good roads. It's a mm-hmm. big deal for the agriculture industry and for manufacturing, to be able to ship goods to market. So we are a state that is dedicated to doing good roads. But with that, how do you pay for these big projects? They're all coming of age at the same time.
Ann in Monona is with us. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Well, I wanted to talk about the role of Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce in this whole process. Governor Walker showed an interest in having large trucks pay their fair share of the damage to our roads, until WMC weighed in and said, nope, that's out. And I don't know whether WMC has advanced any positive ways of improving these pothole-filled roads. But what processes do they use, and have they used in the past, to make sure that what their members want is what the legislature gives them?
So Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce did say no, that increase in fee on heavy trucks is out. Is that what killed that idea, JR?
I'm not sure if that's what killed it, because actually WMC and 16 other groups sent a letter last week, or announced last week or a week before, their opposition to the fee. Robin Voss then, an Assembly GOP leaders, asked these groups, okay, if you guys don't want this heavy truck fee, you tell us by today what you would do. And WMC on Friday put out a list of cost-saving measures. They didn't say how much these things would cost in their estimation, but put out a list of things they would do to save money. They also said they would raise the gas tax and registration fee, but they acknowledged the political difficulty of doing that right now because of Governor Walker. So they have been on record calling for gas tax registration fee increase, but a more broad-based one. Part of their opposition to that heavy truck fee was it would basically hit the heavy trucking industry only, rather than sharing the cost across all motorists. And obviously the people behind the heavy truck fee would say, well, these heavy trucks do the most wear and tear to our roads, so it's fair to ask them to pay more. But they want a more broad-based approach to raising revenue than just hitting heavy trucks.
All right. So where do you see this concluding, JR? Do you think we will see an increase in fees or not, since Governor Walker says he wasn't elected to increase the gas tax?
I don't see how Governor Walker ever signs a gas tax increase, because Governor Walker is going to run for president again. Governor Walker, it's an open secret in the Capitol, he's going to run for re-election in 2018. If he wins re-election in 2018, you can expect two more budgets for transportation, much like this one, that hold the line on transportation taxes and fees, because Governor Walker he's still a very young man in terms of politicians. He's planning to run for president again, and he will not run for president as somebody who's raised taxes. So as long as he's governor, we're going to have this dynamic of this tension over the budget. So I don't know when they're going to reach a deal. I don't know how they're going to figure it out. But they're, last I checked, you know, they make any calls on the weekend, they were still stuck where they've been for weeks, if not months, about this debate over revenue versus bonding. And until somebody blinks, we're going to be in the same spot.
Speaking of the race for governor, that we expect Governor Walker will be running for re-election. We heard last week that State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Evers is considering challenging Governor Walker. What do we know about that so far?
Well, I had broke the story a little bit for our subscribers on Thursday afternoon that he was interested. There's another businessman as well is going to pop as possible candidates. So I think we're field is like, I don't know, 10 candidates or possible candidates right now. But with Evers, the question kind of becomes, the attraction is his office is nonpartisan, but he is somebody in line with Democrats. He's the only left-of-center candidate, or one of only a handful of left-of-center candidates who've won statewide in the last 6 years. There's Ann Walsh Bradley on the Supreme Court, Doug La Follette, who has been Secretary of State for almost as long as I've been alive, Tammy Baldwin, who won in 2012, and President Obama won the state, and Tony Evers. So Evers, having won statewide, makes him an attractive candidate for some people. Now, he has some challenges. One, he'd have to really ramp up the fundraising effort that he has compared to running for DPI superintendent. It's a much different ballgame going from $500,000 for campaign to the $30 million we think Governor Walker might raise. That's one thing. Two, he has to broaden his appeal. Yes, he's won statewide, but as an education official, can he make a pitch to people on taxes, on business development, on growing jobs, on filling the jobs that we have that are open right now? Medicaid, this whole, you know, menagerie of issues that you deal with as governor, that's another challenge for him. And we're still waiting to see who else is going to jump in. There will be, I'm going to guess, once the budget is done, you'll start to see more people getting in. Andy Gronick is a businessman from Milwaukee area. We expect him to get in any day now. Dana Walk, state lawmaker from up by Eau Claire, we expect him to get in before too long. So the field starts to take shape before too long. The question is kind of where Evers fit in there if he does decide to run.
Well, we will keep an eye on that and hopefully have you back soon. Thanks very much for being with us.
Anytime.
J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com.